somebody says, "Oh, you? Oh, I remember you when you were a wicked kid, when you used to drink and raise Cain and all this stuff." You say, "Yeah, I used to do that, but that old man died. I'm a new man now." "Why? But I knew you back yonder." I said, "That's okay. Yeah, back yonder I was that wicked guy, but that guy died. I'm a new man now. That's why I'm telling you to repent from your sins." You know, I hate it when somebody says, "Yeah, you bunch of Christians, I went to church for a while. You know, but I know old so-and-so down there. He goes to church every Sunday. He's a deacon down there. That guy, he'll steal from you. He'll do a dirty deal with you." You know. Have you ever heard anybody say things like that?
Yep. Amen.
You want to know why nobody wants to be a Christian? We need to be different.
Amen.
If they say, "A Christian? Oh, man. That woman? I know her. And man, if I ever seen a woman that walks like Jesus, it's that woman. Is there a Christian like her?" We wished. But unfortunately, they're not. You know. But we need to be working on it, don't we? We need to repent, because you can't tell somebody else to turn from their sins if you haven't turned from them yourself. If you're lying, stealing, cheating, committing adultery, and some people don't go out and commit adultery physically, but they do it with their eyes. You know, look at some man, look at some woman, and somebody watches them. You know, they're in church, and a guy or a girl, woman, she gets up to walk out or whatever, and everybody's looking at her. They forget what you're teaching on. They're looking at her. Hey, watch what you look at. Pay attention, you know, because who's watching you? Everybody's watching you. But who's watching you that pays, that really counts? Jesus. That's exactly right. Did he tell you to repent, turn from your wicked ways? Yes, he did. And so the disciples went out telling all they met to turn from their sins. Now let's go to Luke 13, 3 through 5. Luke 13, 3 through 5. No. Luke 13, 3 through 5. NL, oh, King James? Okay, 3 through 5. NLT, okay. Luke 13, 3 and 4, okay. "Not at all. And you will also perish unless you turn from your evil ways and turn to God." Now, what's that saying? "And you will also perish unless you turn from your evil ways and turn to God."
Amen.
Do you want to perish?
No.
Is your sins and life worth spending eternity in hell for?
No.
But you don't know what he did to me. It don't make no difference. It ain't worth spending 1 second hell for, is it? Much less eternity. "And you also will perish unless you turn from your evil ways and turn to God." And he says, and what about the 18 men who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? Were they the worst sinners in Jerusalem? What does he say in verse 5? No. "And I tell you again that unless you repent, you will also perish." Now, when the tower fell on those men, were they the worst sinners in Jerusalem? No. They weren't any worse than anybody else. They were sinners. And, of course, that's why the tower fell on them. It's just like the other day, I run into a contractor. He said, he's a ceiling contractor, laying tile, putting grid and everything in. And he had a job. And he said, I'm up in there, and I had two men that worked for me, and we're working diligently to get this building finished. He said, I'm a man of God. I love God. I run my business under God's principles. And said, we're up there. I'm working diligently. And he said, all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me and said, son, I want you to go to lunch and stay gone until I tell you to come back. He said, Lord, it's only 11 o'clock, and I'm not hungry, and I got to get this building finished. He said, son, you obey me. Now, when God speaks to you, you know what you better do? You better obey. So he said, I come down to prayer thinking, oh, God, I got to get this building finished. I told the two guys, I said, I got to go somewhere for a little while. I'll be back in a little while. I said, I didn't tell them that God spoke to me and told me to leave. Well, see, I didn't have any idea what he wanted me to do. And you know what the average person, you tell them God told you to leave, they're going to say, huh, got a little problem here, you know. Who are we working for? He's a nut. And that's not the way it should be, but that's the way it is. Anyway, he said, I left. And he said, I went up there, and I wasn't hungry, but I pulled into a little fast food place and got me a hamburger, and I sat there and I'm munching on the hamburger and everything. And he said, he'd come 12. I said, God, can I go back to work yet? He said, no. Okay, God, okay. So he said, just messed around there and messed around there. Finally, about 12:30, he'd be gone an hour and a half. Sitting there and said, Lord, I got to get this building finished. I got a deadline. Finally, about 12:30, the Lord said, okay, son, you can go back down there. He said, I got in my truck and started down there. As I got close, I heard sirens. I heard ambulances. And he said, I pulled up in front of the place and they had it barricaded off. And the main wall to the front of that place had collapsed and fell out. And everybody inside was killed. Does it pay good dividends to listen to God?
Amen.
Now, why did the two men in there that worked for him both get killed and he didn't? Why did God choose him to send him somewhere else? He had a plan. And the boy was serving him. And he loved God. And he came to a healing school here and told me that story. He said, let me tell you, Mr. Scrivener, when I hear you talk on that tape, you heard God's voice, and you said, when he speaks to you, obey you. He said, let me tell you, that little deal, it only took one. From that day forth, when the king talked to me, he said, I don't even ask questions. I just do what he says.
Amen.
Well, what's he saying right there? And I'll tell you again that unless you repent, you'll also perish. That's just as good as if God spoke that to you audibly. You know that? No difference. Now then, Luke 16, verse 27 through 31. Luke 16. Then the rich man said, please, Father Abraham, send him, he's talking about Lazarus, to my father's home, for I have five brothers, and I want him to warn them about this place of torment, so they won't come to here when they die. Now see, this guy, he didn't believe. Somebody told him about this place of torment. But he didn't believe. Oh, he's a wealthy guy. He's got big barns and everything. You know, who needs God? You know, I will tear down. I had a bumper crop this year. So what am I going to do with all this? Oh, I know. I'll tear down my old barn. I'll build me some great big new ones. And I'll fill them up. And I'll sit back and say, so, take life easy. Many years, I'll just eat, drink, and be merry. And the Lord said, you fool. Tonight, your soul shall be required of you. Who of us knows what night or day our soul will be required of us? Do we know? No, we don't have a clue. Don't have a clue. You know, we live today like, and we act today like we're going to never die. You know it? But you know, life lived in terms of dying is much more dynamic. Much more. Just like the other day. We come out, after we sent out the timely warnings and all that stuff, I went out and I run around. I opened the car door for my sweetheart. I let her get in. She said, you're going to do it one more time. This may be the last time. But you know, we don't know that, do we? Today, I did it again for her today. But it might be the last time. But I ain't going to confess that because I believe I'm going to be here for a long time yet. But nobody knows what today holds. But this rich man, he'd been told, but he ain't going to believe it. But now he's in this place of torment. He's in this flaming torment. He says, I don't want, he said, please, please, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my father's home. And for I have five brothers, and I want Lazarus to warn them about this place of torment so they won't have to come here when they die. I wonder how many people's down there right now saying, please, Lord, let me go back. And you know what he's saying? No. Listen to my preachers. No, but Lord, if one comes back from the dead. No. You can raise somebody from the dead. God's raised a lot of people from the dead. I think about that book. I forgot what the title of it is. Something about hell. But it's that doctor that was a medical doctor. Some of you may have seen the book. And how that as a medical doctor, he was a heart specialist. And when they'd have a trauma come in and somebody had been in an accident or a wreck and their heart had stopped, he'd shock treat them and do all the stuff they knew how to do. And he brings somebody back from the dead. And when they did, they're screaming, "I was in hell! Help me! I was in hell!" He said, "I thought they're hallucinating." And then one day I'd bring one back and he said, "Doc, what do you mean? I was in heaven. I don't want to come back to this place." He said, "I thought, what's the deal? These people are stupid. You know, they're hallucinating. One of them sees some wonderful place and the next one something that's awful." And finally one day he resurrected a guy that had died and he said, "Doc, you got to help me. I was in hell. I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. How do I do it?" The doctor said, "I ain't even a Christian." He said, I told him, he said, "Well, I've been to church. I heard, just confess Jesus as Lord and Savior." He said, "I don't even know how to do that." He said, "Well, repeat after me. I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior." And see, what he didn't know when he said that, he got saved. Hallelujah. That's what I say. He received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He got saved and he became a He said, "Something totally new happened when I confessed Jesus." Now, what's God? What will God do to get you saved? He'll do even anything. Does he want you saved? Yes. He'll do anything. But this guy here, he's in the flames of torment and he's suffering. Let's go to the next two verses. "But Abraham said, 'Moses and the prophets have warned you. Your brothers can read their writings anytime they want to.'" Can you read this book anytime you want to? You got this book, and you, of all people today, people lived on earth, there's more Bibles been printed than any other book in the world. Millions of them. The most produced book in the world and the least read. I asked a question the other day at Baltimore. People said, "How do you learn all this stuff?" I said, "Well, let me ask y'all a question. As Christians, how many of you have been a Christian for 10, 15, 20 years?" And almost everybody in that place raised their hand. I said, "Okay, good. Now, I don't want you to lie. Remember, God's right there with you." I said, "How many of you have read the entire Bible at least once?" And five people held up their hand. I said, "That's how I learn it. I read it over and over and over, and I listen to it when I drive down the road. I don't turn on secular radio. I got a CD in there talking about Jesus. It's the Word of God. You know, I listen to it over and over and over and over. And then I study it over and over and over. How do I learn it? I read the book."
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.